From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Hey, what is up, beautiful people? Another day, another dollar. As always, I am your host, Al Martin, and you are tuned in to Current Sports. Folks, we've got a stacked show for you. We'll be talking about the MSU and Penn State men's basketball game that took place last night at the Breslin Center. Tell you what, the Spartans sort of righted the ship after that road loss to Maryland, getting the win over the Nittany Lions in one controversial quote-unquote way. We'll also talk about the big night that was for Pistons guard Brandon Jennings. Folks, he has been sizzling hot. And also, we'll throw it back with Throwback Thursday and have so much more to chat about. But first, let's start the show like we always do. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners for this January 22nd. All right, folks, Michigan State pulled away late to beat Penn State 66-60 last night. Now, Penn State was able to keep it close, but suffocating defense by Brandon Dawson and key shots from Bryn Forbes helped lift the Spartans. Now, Wednesday marked the 400th game played at the Brez, with the Spartans holding 348 all-time wins at home. How about that impressive stuff? Now, Michigan State returns to the Big Ten play Saturday afternoon when they play Nebraska on the road. All right, how about those Pistons, huh? The Detroit Pistons defeated the Orlando Magic 128-118 last night. Brandon Jennings had a huge night with, get this, 24 points and 21 assists. No, don't adjust your radio dial, folks. I just said that. 21 assists. That's unbelievable. Now, it was the first 20-point, 20-assist night in the NBA since Steve Nash accomplished defeat back in 09. Andre Drummond led all scorers with 26 points and 17 rebounds, and the Pistons returned to action Saturday night when they traveled to Milwaukee to take on the Bucks in a 7:30 p.m. matchup. All right, the Super Bowl hasn't even been played yet, but mock drafts have already slotted a defensive lineman as the Detroit Lions' top need. Now, with Ndamukong Suh and Nick Fairley up for free agency, Mel Kiper has the Lions taking Texas defensive tackle Malcolm Brown in his first mock draft. Now, hold your horses, because we, again, don't know what Suh will do, but all signs could possibly point to him leaving the squad. All right, after the Detroit Tigers watched Max Scherzer sign a $210 million deal with the Washington Nationals, attention has now shifted to ace David Price. Now, the free agent-to-be was the Tigers' big pickup at the trade deadline last season, and his future with the team has been a bit foggy. Now, Dave Dombrowski told reporters yesterday that the hope was for the lefty to stay a Tiger for a long, long time. All right, Lansing Everett travels to Jackson for a battle between CAAC Blue rivals. Now, Mr. Basketball candidate Trevor Manuel leads Everett into the Friday matchup, 6 p.m. matchup tomorrow. Now, a win will be huge for either team as the two second-place teams look to gain ground on first-place Grand Ledge. And sad news coming out of the world of NASCAR, folks. This morning, Jeff Gordon announced that after this 2015 season, he will retire. Now, Gordon has 92 career Sprint Cup wins and is the third all-time Hall of Fame behind drivers Richard Petty and David Pearson. Now, Gordon won championships in 1995, 97, and 98, and 01. Now, he spent his entire 23 career in the number 24 car with Hendrick Motorsports. He will certainly be missed. I'm a guy, I'm not a big NASCAR fan. I don't even think I've ever watched an entire race, but I do know who Jeff Gordon is, and his impact on NASCAR will surely be missed. And how about this? My girl Serena Williams. Serena won her 19th Grand Slam yesterday against Vera Zvonareva. I probably just butchered that name, but all right. She's in the Australian Open. She lost the first round 5-0, but bounced back in the second 7-6. Williams is ranked number one in the women's singles. Folks, if you know how to pronounce that name, please call in 517-355-9527 because our phone lines are now open. Again, folks, a lot of discussion. You can also weigh in by going to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. And hey, even tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. So without further ado, hey, start the show.
The football issue here. When I came in Monday morning, I was shocked to learn of the news reports about the footballs. I had no knowledge whatsoever of this situation until Monday morning. I would say I've learned a lot more about this process in the last 3 days than I knew or had talked about it in the last 40 years that I've coached in this league. I had no knowledge of the various steps involved in the game balls and the process that went through, that happened between when they were prepared and went to the officials and went to the game. I'm sure that any current or past player of mine would tell you that the balls we practice with are as bad as they can be. Wet, sticky, cold, slippery. Whatever, however bad we can make them, I make them. And anytime that players complain about the quality of the balls, footballs, I make them worse, and that stops the complaint. So we never use the condition of the footballs as an excuse. We play with whatever or kick with whatever we have to use, and that's the way it is. Maybe that's part of our whole ball security philosophy. I'm trying to coach the team, and that's what I want to do. I think we all know that quarterbacks, kickers, specialists have certain preferences on footballs. They know a lot more about it than I do. They're a lot more sensitive to it than I am. And I hear them comment on it from time to time. But I can tell you, and they will tell you, that there is never any sympathy whatsoever from me on that subject. Zero. And Tom's personal preferences on his footballs are something that he can talk about in much better detail and information than I could possibly provide. I could tell you that in my entire coaching career, I have never talked to any player, staff member about football air pressure. That is not a subject that I have ever brought up.
Oh, folks, you know, I must say that after watching Bill Belichick, who was the head coach of the New England Patriots, address the media this morning on this entire Deflategate situation, I found it, I gotta be honest with you, I found it kind of comical.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Yeah, thank you, Alex, thank you. Yeah, because I tell you what, this team is definitely getting hit with jabs left and right and trying desperately to crawl itself up from the mat, okay? You know what, this was a genius presser though, folks, I'm gonna tell you why. Now, just to capitalize this whole situation. Okay, so you got the New England Patriots, right? This is a team that, again, is such a storied franchise. I mean, they've won Super Bowls in 01 and 03 and, you know, are now back at the pinnacle of success in the most popular league that this nation has, the National Football League, folks. The Patriots have become, in many ways, for lack of better words, a dynasty. And now you have this controversy surrounded by footballs that 11 of 12 of them were underinflated during the AFC Championship game against the Indianapolis Colts, ideally giving them a little bit of an advantage, not a whole lot if you ask me, against Andrew Luck and company. So now Belichick comes out, You know, this story has certainly blown out. And I tell you what, this story has gotten so much attention from the media. Again, Alex cut that bite right before we took the air. And the bite that he cut was from Fox News, folks. Fox News aired that presser live on their airways. Can you believe that? I mean, Fox News, we're not talking about ESPN here or Fox Sports 1. No, this is Fox News airing this presser. It just shows you how important this game is and how big this controversy has gotten. But anyway, so Belichick goes to the podium and he says, hey, yeah, I'm the head coach. But again, as you just heard from him, I was shocked. I was shocked. When I came in Monday morning, I was absolutely shocked that 11 of our 12 footballs were underinflated. I had no idea. Basically saying, I had no idea that this went down, folks. And you know what? I truly believe that Bill Belichick had no idea that this occurred. Point blank, period. You know what? Not every boss, I don't care what job you're at, not every boss at every job knows exactly what happens or what is going down behind the scenes with every employee. That's every job. There are many, other than this situation, there's probably numerous other things going on with players that Bill Belichick didn't know about. That's how every boss knows, has a general idea, but it's impossible to mandate and have an eye and an ear on everything that is going on with your franchise. But I tell you what, the key word in that previous sentence I just stated is the word idea. I do believe that Bill Belichick did have an idea as to what possibly was going on. I mean, he's been working with Tom Brady for I don't know how long now. The Brady and Belichick relationship is one of the most storied relationships in all of sports, let alone the game of football. I'm pretty sure he knows how Tom Brady likes to approach his job in pretty much every facet of it. I just think this is a genius situation. This is one of those situations where, and again, you know, there's a go back to the old saying I brought up yesterday. If you're not cheating, you're not trying. There's probably numerous amounts of other teams doing something of this nature or doing any little thing. Every coach and every player is always looking for that advantage. That advantage to give them the leg up on the competition. And hey, whether it may be underinflating footballs to increase grip and also to increase the ability of their receivers to catch the football, that does give you a slight advantage out there. It wouldn't have mattered against the Colts in that game. Obviously, anytime you beat somebody 45-7, it didn't matter if they were playing the game with a beach ball for that matter. But still, it does give you an advantage. And anytime you do break the rules, these are the rules. They are rules for a reason, folks. Hey, you know you've been driving that car right and maybe going 5, 10 miles per hour over the speed limit and you got pulled over. You were still going over the speed limit, whether you think you deserve a ticket or not. Point blank, period. Rules are in place for a reason. And once you break them, there must be repercussions. But you know what? Going back to why I thought this was a genius press conference and a kind of weird one and different one, which kind of shocked me because I've never really seen Belichick approach the podium and give an 8-minute speech, if you will, and defend his team like he did. But he defended it only to a certain extent, because the reason why I think this is so genius was because he basically deflected the attention from off of him, saying, hey, I didn't know anything. I didn't know why this happened. And he put the attention on pretty boy Tom Brady, folks. Who doesn't like Tom Brady, right? I mean, Tom Brady, one of the most coveted athletes to ever play the game. He plays the game the right way. He carries himself off the field in the right manner. He is the standard of how a quarterback should carry himself in the league. He deflected the attention from him and said, hey, you have to ask Tom as to how he likes his footballs. That's what exactly he said. That was a genius move. So now you bring in Tom Brady, who is the star pupil in the NFL. Let's be honest here. And now Tom has to go up now and defend his case. And you know what? Tom Brady, I think, is scheduled to actually address the media later on today. I am going to be glued to my television or my laptop, wherever I happen to be at that time, just like many of you, I'm sure, will be. And, you know, I think Tom will own up to it a little bit. Tom seems like the type of guy to say, hey, yeah, You know, I think I like my footballs, especially in weather like that. It's easier to grip. I think Tom will possibly admit to everything that's going down. I think that may happen today, folks. So don't be surprised if it does. I said it first, all right? So, hey, and again, cheating happens. It happens, folks. I'm pretty sure, you know, you out there, you know, listeners out there have been engaged in a heated competition with maybe one of your friends, and, you know, you try to find that advantage. No matter what it is, it happens. But it's not until it hits the fan where you have to deal with the backlash. And this was a perfect example of that. And the history that the Patriots have. Spygate, for goodness sake, folks. I could see if this was a first-time offense, but this is a second-time offense. They got to lay down the hammer on the Patriots next year. I'm sorry. It's just as simple as that. But I just found it very interesting, and I found it a genius PR move from the Patriots and Bill Belichick to say, hey, I didn't know what was going on. You got to talk to Tom Brady. Folks, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Folks, got to remind you all, man, oh, man, I had a fantastic sit-down last night with an individual who is, again, a staple in the mid-Michigan sporting community. I mean, this guy has won, actually set the record on January 8th. Yes, not too long ago, folks. On January 8th, he set the record for the most high school basketball games coached in the state of Michigan. How about that? Bob Anderson, folks. Man, oh, man, it was a great sit-down last night. I sat down with Bob and got to pick his brain about some of his most memorable times on the sidelines. I got to chat with him about how many more years he's got left in this whole coaching gig. He revealed a revelation to us all last night as well. We had a fantastic audience. Thanks a lot for those who came out. It was just a great time last night sitting down with a man who knows his stuff. Okay, and he's a great guy. I mean, he's a natural on air. You do not want to miss Current Sports TV tonight. Okay, make sure you DVR it. 10 o'clock tonight on WKAR TV. Do not miss it. If that's past your bedtime, hey. I'm pretty sure you got DVR, folks. I'm pretty sure you do. Make sure you DVR it. Or even go to video.wkar.org and check it out online as it will be posted. Folks, you do not want to miss that, okay? We have a caller right now on line one. It's our good pal, good friend of Current Sports, my man Ray. How you doing, Ray?
Hey, buddy, I want to ask you a question.
Yeah, what's up?
After listening to explanations by Bill Belichick, would you buy a used car off him?
You know what, Ray, when looking at that presser, and again, as I just stated, you know, I do believe that he's telling the truth. I think he is telling the truth. I think that he did. I do think that he had no knowledge.
Hey, I already caught him in one lie today, buddy. Right. But he said that he didn't know till Monday morning. You tried to tell me
right.
after halftime that they had to switch those balls and use other balls. That the officials didn't warn him, hey, you, what's going on with all this air pressure? And he had all day Sunday night. He said he didn't know anything about it till Monday morning.
Ray, I think he had an idea because I think that this isn't the first time. Let's be honest here. If this has been going on and they got caught at this moment, this, I'm sure, has been going on for years and years and years. They just got caught. They just happened to get caught on Sunday. I'm sure Bill Belichick has had an idea. I mean, he's been working with Tom Brady for years and years and years.
Yeah, you don't think he ever asked him about the air pressure in the ball, what you like it, Tom?
I'm pretty sure. It may be one of those things where, you know, Bill Belichick has kind of just turned a side eye to it. Said, hey, Tom, you do your thing. You know, I don't want to know about it. You just do your thing.
The way he said he greased the ball up and made him slippery. How are you going to ever have a practice, a legitimate practice, if you're greasing the ball up all the time and we don't ever want to hear complaints and we do everything, we get the ball all wet and everything? Come on, they don't do that all the time.
Right, I mean, yeah, that's one of his techniques to prepare the team for any weather conditions. But, you know, I do believe, it seems as though, I don't think Bill Belichick knew during that moment, because he came off as genuine. I got to say, he came off as genuine in that press conference, Ray. And it seemed to me, when looking at the presser and hearing it again at the top of our show, I don't believe that he knew at that moment, maybe in that game.
Why did he leave the press conference when they were all asking questions?
Well, you know, he deflected the attention. You know, and I think this was, I think this was a genius PR move because you deflect the attention from you, the head coach, who, and Bill, let's be honest here, he has this stale personality. He's not real personable. But then you deflect it to Tom Brady, a guy who is coveted in the NFL and in sports, a guy who has never had a blemish on his record on the field and off of it.
Did you hear what Sherman said about him? How he talked with his big mouth, saying they were a whole bunch of nobody in Seattle. And I'm not saying that Seattle probably didn't goad him into saying all that stuff, that they were a bunch of nobodies. And then he come up and he said, "Hey, bro, are you mad at me?" After the game.
Yeah, I did see that, yeah.
Tom Brady is not going to admit to that. I don't think he will.
You don't think he will?
345, but I don't think he'll admit to anything because I tell you, they're all a bunch of fibbers in that organization.
So you think
it goes right back to, that murder trial with Hernandez and everything. I think they covered a little bit of that up, that they knew a little more than they said they did.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
And, you know, some of those guys are going to have to testify. This guy's going on a murder trial here in the next couple of days, and they were talking about it last night that some of the organization, like Belichick and the owner, is going to have to go to that trial.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, I tell you what. When looking at it, Ray, I wouldn't be surprised because I think. I mean, let's be honest here. I mean, if 11 of the 12 footballs that this team used on Sunday were underinflated, and I said yesterday, this investigation is still not done with. If it comes out, let's just say if it comes out that the Colts footballs were of regulation, I mean, that's going to add a lot of heat to this fire because it's going to be really blatant to argue that the Patriots didn't know that the 11 of their 12 of their footballs were underinflated.
You watch a fight,
that's too much
of
a coincidence.
Take it out on blame the ball boy. I bet you money they'll say he did it. Come on. You don't think somebody didn't tell the ball boy to take that air off in that football?
Well, you know what? I mentioned yesterday, you know, Brad Johnson, you know, he admitted to paying $7,500 in the Super Bowl to have those balls doctored. So this has happened before.
Yeah, but did he admit to it till after he retired?
After he retired. This was
after
it was all said and done. Right.
You think Brady's going to want to admit to it with him still playing? They're going to put into question all of his other years.
Oh, yeah.
Doing this technique.
Right. That is very, very true. I mean, they are under fire. They're under fire, Ray.
Yep. Well, it'll be interesting. We'll see at 345. I hope you're right about him, that he'll man up, but I don't think he will.
Don't be surprised if Tom Brady comes out and says, yeah, you know, and he kind of alludes to it and says, yeah, I like my footballs.
We'll talk about it tomorrow, partner. We'll see who's right about it.
We'll see. I'm looking forward to the call, Ray. Appreciate it, my man. All right, folks, if you want to call in just like my man Ray just did, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. So, again, that presser for Tom Brady is at 345. He will come out and address the media as to Deflategate and where it will go. Well, I feel like I've squeezed all of the water out of this sponge that I can. We've been talking about this story for so long. The national media has been talking about it. How about we move on a little bit, huh? Let's talk a little college basketball, shall we? Such a busy day for me. I mean, I did the radio show, did the TV show, then went right to the Breslin Center to do game coverage of Tom Izzo's team taking on Penn State. Of course, Michigan State coming off the road loss to Maryland this past weekend, trying to right the ship and get back on the winning track. Then you had Penn State, a team that has yet to find the win column in the Big Ten. So, from a Spartan fan perspective for all of you out there, I mean, looking at this game, I mean, this was a great opportunity for the Spartans to really get back on track, but it was not easy. And, you know, I always get asked, you know, what are my takeaways from, you know, a game? Looking at last night's game, I mean, great. It is fantastic that this team etched out the win and again, moved on from the loss to Maryland. But, I mean, there's two ways you can focus on this game. You can focus on the fact they got back on the winning track, or you can focus on the fact that they barely squeaked out this win against a dismal Big Ten squad that, again, has yet to win in conference. So there's two ways to focus on it. And I'm going to invite Alex Shark, the man behind the glass, our engineer, here on Current Sports in just a sec. But, you know, there was an interesting moment because after that game, I tell you what, there was one heated moment by Coach Chambers, a head coach of the Penn State Nittany Lions, in which he came in. Now, if you remember, if you guys saw that game, there was a moment in the second half where the game was very, very close. And Chambers felt as though his guys were getting fouled left and right and it wasn't getting called. So he lashed out, got in the referee's face. I mean, it was unbelievable, folks. I mean, he just kind of lost it. And they teed him up. Once they teed him up, you know, the Spartans shoot the technical free throws and they go on this run and make it like, you know, I believe almost a double-digit lead at that moment. There was a complete momentum shift right when Penn State was threatening, as they had done multiple times throughout the beginning to midpoint of that second half. And then things slowly kind of shifted. Now, they also fought back. Once Michigan State got it and matched his biggest lead of the game, Penn State fought back, but the Spartans just made some key moments down the stretch. MSU, they shot 58% from the field. How about that in the second half? I mean, how about that? That's very, very impressive. Bryn Forbes is a guy I want to call out because I think Bryn had some key moments in that game. You know, his numbers don't jump out at you and pop out at you when you look at the stat sheet, but it's a matter of when those buckets came for Bryn Forbes, as you know, that trumps, you know, this is the hard statistics when you evaluate the box score. Bryn Forbes hit some big threes, folks, when Michigan State, you know, was really reeling. When it was a tie game at one point, when Penn State actually even took the lead very briefly in that game, Bryn Forbes came up and hit some daggers, point blank period. And Bryn Forbes was fantastic last night, folks. He's a guy who is such a sharpshooter. Also want to call out Matt Costello and Gavin Schilling. They provided a lot of energy throughout that game yesterday, folks. Schilling had a double-double. Brandon Dawson also with a double-double. Why not? All three of those guys. Brandon Dawson, Matt Costello, and Gavin Schilling. Three guys who I said have to step up because the post presence for the Spartans just really hasn't been there. But when those three are active, when they're just active, being aggressive, going after loose balls, you know, honing in defensively, when they're focused and active, I mean, they can be a three-headed horse. I mean, just a monster down there. So I want to shout out those guys, especially Gavin Schilling. He's like the Energizer bunny, isn't he? But you know what? And again, there's two ways to look at it, though. I mean, Michigan State is struggling against a Penn State squad who, again, has not recorded a win yet in conference. I do think this Penn State squad is definitely underrated in some regards. I mean, you got DJ Newble, who is the fourth leading scorer in the NCAA right now. I mean, that says a lot. I mean, he's a juggernaut. And a lot of it had to do – a lot of the reasons, you know, as to why Newble was able to get off in that second half, and Tom Izzo talked about this in the presser yesterday, is the fact that Denzel Valentine got into foul trouble, and he had to sit a little bit in that first half. So, you know, then the matchup of Denzel Valentine and DJ Newble goes away. And, you know, it kind of frees Newble up in the second half to sort of just become a scoring phenomenon. He finished with 27 points last night. The rebounds are there. I mean, Michigan State, the top rebounding team in conference. They had a 39-26 advantage last night. That's always great for them because it gives Michigan State those great second chance garbage man opportunities. I don't know what to take away, though. I just don't know at the end of the day what perception to have of Tom Izzo's team right now, because it seems as though I'm getting a different order every time I pull up to the drive-thru. I don't know. Alex, how you doing, my man? Happy, happy Thursday.
You too, and I have to go back because I couldn't really get a word in about Belichick. But
yeah,
go ahead. You know what it reminded me of, that press conference? It reminded me of something like this.
I don't make decisions when injuries, and that shouldn't be a coach's decision. That's
You're right. It does kind of remind you of Hoke, doesn't it?
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
It literally is the same exact thing. And he said, you know what? You got to ask Tom about his balls or
right.
Maybe other ball boy for that matter. But yeah, I mean, I actually have to disagree, actually, Al, in a way where I actually don't think it was that genuine. And here's why. I thought he was very contradictory in the way that he's like, I don't know anything about the balls. I don't know anything about our balls in practice. But I can tell you that in practice, I make sure that they're wet, they're slippery, they're slick, and that they're the hardest to play with. So obviously, he's focused on the balls before. This isn't a first-time thing where he's heard about balls. Footballs, for that matter.
Right.
But, you know, it, for him to describe it, he makes the balls hard to practice with in practice, and the fact that he kept saying the word ball over and over and over and over again, it kind of made me, and he kind of went on and on about the same couple points over again. It looked a little suspicious to me. I wouldn't say that it was really genuine, but I do agree with you in the way that I think that in that game, I don't think he knew anything about it in that game against the Colts, but I guarantee you that he's had conversations with Tom before, like some of the callers said. You know, Tom, what do you think about the ball? Or, you know, you like your balls like this, Tom? I'm sure that's gone on, and like you said, just caught at the wrong time, right? Mm-hmm.
Right. No, I agree with you. I definitely see where you're going. Okay, what about Michigan State?
Yeah, so back
basketball?
To Michigan State. Just wanted to comment on that. I thought that was funny.
Yeah.
But, I thought that in the game yesterday, the technical foul to Penn State's coach was really that moment in the game that led Michigan State back in. And a lot of the writers, if you look at Lansing State Journal or MLive, they're all saying that was the big moment as well, and I have to agree. But overall, yeah, what a way to squeak out a win. And, yeah, I think you're right, man, with Dawson and the three-headed horse, they just got to keep being consistent, man. And like you said, you just don't know what you're getting from this team.
I don't know. If just to evaluate this team, and I'm asked all the time, I mean, what do you think about the team? I mean, honestly, you know, I can't point to one consistent piece on this team that you can bet your bottom dollar you're going to get watching the Spartans every game. I can't. I mean, defensively, I think they could be better. I've seen them take, moments off throughout a game. If there is one, I guess rebounding. They lead the Big Ten in rebounding. They always have at least a plus seven rebounding advantage against their opponents. So rebounding is there, but everything else, I just don't know. And you know, another guy who I wanted to see really last night sort of blossom and fine tune his game a little bit. Well, two guys actually. Tum Tum did it. Lou Rawls, Tum Tum Nairn seems to be getting more confident as the games go by. Which I love because I think he's one of those guards who can, you know, something that has been absent from this team all year, the penetration, the dribble drive and kickouts, which lead to a lot of things for this squad, especially a team who loves to shoot like this MSU team does. Tum Tum is getting confident. Love that for him. He seems to, you know, game by game. Javon Best, though, is a guy who Tom Izzo, if you remember at the beginning of the year, Tom Izzo was very high on Javon Best. I mean, there was even talks about Best cracking the starting lineup and how he could, you know, Tom even going back to high school, he was very impressed about how athletic he was, and he was really high on Javon Best. But, you know, since he's come back from the injury which I think put him back a step or two, he hasn't really impressed me that much. You know, he was 0-for-1 last night, 0 points, only played about 11 minutes. I just haven't seen enough from Best, and I really want to start to see him getting more acclimated as far as his playing time goes and his efficiency when he is in the game. So that's also something I'll be honing in as well. Now they play two games in a row, though. Again, you want to come in on a road trip on winning momentum, and they certainly did that last night. But as far as my takeaways and my evaluation of this team, Alex, is changing after every game. I just don't know.
I think that the best bet at this point is to wait till February, like Izzo said earlier, and then we can kind of see, okay, what is this team exactly?
Right. Yeah, definitely true. All right, folks, our phone lines are open. If you want to call in and give your thoughts on anything we've talked about or yet to talk about here on the show, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. We'll be right back. Man, you gotta love that tune, right? Yeah, you know who that is. The Jackson 5 on this Throwback Thursday edition of Current Sports. One of my all-time favorite Motown artists. Man, if I had to actually pick my favorite Motown artist of all time, well, of course, Michael Jackson is considered Motown, but I may have to go with Stevie. I gotta go with Stevie Wonder, Alex. Who is your favorite Motown artist? You got one?
I gotta go with the Temptations, man.
You're right. The Temptations were very, very good.
OJs. I love the OJs.
The OJ. They were Motown? I guess they were Motown. I think they were Motown. Yeah, the OJs were very, very good. Actually, funny story. You know the Four Tops?
Of course.
My grandfather used to sing with the Four Tops back in the day. He used to live right next door to them.
He
would go down in the basement and sing with the Four Tops when they lived in the D. Wow, that's fantastic stuff though. All right, folks. Well, I also got to bring up this man before we dive into our Throwback Thursday segment. I want to bring up Brandon Jennings, folks, because I tell you what, Brandon Jennings has just been insane in the membrane as of lately. I tell you what, he has been a top five point guard in the NBA for these two past weeks. I mean, and looking at last night, I mean, he finished with 21 dimes. That's two more than the previous top assist man for this year. That record set by Rajon Rondo, actually 19 assists. That was before the Celtics traded him to Dallas. But then not only did he have 21 assists last night, folks, but he had 24 points on 10 for 21 shooting. And just two turnovers. Just two turnovers from Brandon Jennings in 33 minutes of work. I mean, that is unbelievable. You know, Brandon Jennings has been so impressive. I love the move. And there were some people who were very skeptical when the Pistons picked up Brandon Jennings. But, you know, because they felt as though, yeah, he's a great scorer, but is he a true point guard? And I even questioned it as well. And I didn't really buy into it until maybe a few weeks ago. I think, you know, you got to give a lot of credit to Stan Van Gundy because Stan Van has really been the orchestrator as to why Brandon Jennings is playing this way. Stan Van Gundy has found the perfect balance in this kid who, you know, who is a bona fide scorer, but is also realizing how valuable his position as the point guard to get others involved is out on the court and the dividends that it could pay in the win column. And when you have a guard who plays on a team that has a lot of talent, because this Piston team, and I always said, even when the Pistons were 5-23, on paper, this Pistons team should be better than it is. When you have talent to facilitate to, you need a guard to facilitate. Point blank, period. I mean, you got Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. You got Andre Drummond. You got Greg Monroe. You got Caron Butler. You got Jody Meeks. You got Jonas Jerebko. I mean, I could go on and on and on. These are players who can fill up the stat sheet. Fill it up. And then you add a guard who can facilitate to that talent and get those guys involved, get their confidence up. Sky's the limit. And the problem in the past, you know, I hate to harp on him, but Josh Smith was a guy who was just who felt as though he could just shoot all the time. I mean, just jack it up. And I think he is an incredible, incredible athletic talent, without a doubt. I think he's a great athletic talent. But when you harness that talent into just settling for jump shots all the time, when that's not the strongest suit of your game, it hurts the team and has a trickle-down effect. So shout out to BJ. I mean, that's great stuff. 21 assists. Again, only two turnovers and 33 minutes of work. This Pistons team can threat in the East, folks. And I think they can run and play with anybody. We got a caller right now. I believe, is it DJ? Alex, DJ is on his cell, on line one. DJ, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Al. Great show today. Wanted to chime on a couple of points you brought about earlier with the Belichick interview.
Yeah, definitely.
And also kind of compare that with baseball, with the actual spitball. I mean, obviously, just to play the football, I'd need to go in and see what the ruling would be in the NFL on what's the fine and what's the penalty. And nobody, I haven't heard that yet. Is there a fine or penalty for undeflated balls?
That is not what, I tell you what, this is the first time. Now, it's happened before in college, but this is the first time it's happened in the NFL. All right now is that the NFL has listed as to what PSI level the balls should be at, but it doesn't list what the punishment is for breaking that rule. That ruling will come, to my knowledge, probably after the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I would say there's probably no ruling. I think every team in the NFL has done it, and not maybe purposely or unpurposely, but it just happened.
Right.
From the standpoint that balls lose air.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, you're going to have a ball monitor, I guess. That's all best part is, somebody else got a new NFL job, and it's not me.
That is, but you know what, DJ, when looking at it, though, I mean, and again, this investigation, and this is what I want people to keep in mind, this investigation is not fully through. There are still going to be details released in the coming days, maybe not until next week, as to what else, what other puzzle pieces fit into this puzzle already. Now, if it comes out that the Indianapolis Colts, if all of their footballs were regulation throughout that entire game, I mean, come on, that would be a blatant viewpoint as to the Patriots doing this on purpose. And 11 of the 12, I could see maybe 4 of the 12, 5 of the 12, but 11 of the 12 footballs, come on now, DJ.
Well, you know what, that point I think is more along Belichick really knowing a lot about football, been coaching over 40 years,
mm-hmm.
also maybe not knowing exactly the situation. It's like what Bill Clinton said, what is with the Monica Lewinsky. I mean, yeah, he may have not known exactly they played at the balls.
Right.
But he's got an idea that something happened, or Tom Brady has something happen, and you just turn your back.
Right, exactly.
So I think that's what happened, and I think he's saying, hey, I turn my back. I don't know. If you ask me factually, did I have it done? He probably is correct.
Right.
If
no.
Know that
ever
happened, I have to agree that, he knows a lot about that game, and he's a control freak, and he knows.
Right. That is true. Hey, thanks a lot, DJ. Great call, my man.
Hey, take care of yourself, Al.
Thank you. Cool. You too.
All right. Go Spartans.
All right. Gotta love that. But yeah, great insight there. And I think that's also one of, a puzzle to this piece as well. I think that, Bill Belichick, probably he definitely had an idea of what's been going on. Because this isn't the first time. Let's be honest. This isn't the first time this has happened, okay? This isn't the first time this has happened. But it's one of those things where I could see Bill Belichick saying, okay, it's going on, but I really don't know about it. Let me just turn my head the other way. So we have another caller right now on line two. Bill, how you doing, Bill? You are on Current Sports.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Hey, I wanted to weigh in on this. This is something I don't understand. I haven't heard anybody explain this to me. If when they come in the stadium, everyone checks their balls, no pun intended,
right,
and they take them and they turn them over to the refs.
Right. Right.
So how is it that in the middle of the game or before? I mean, the refs check the air pressure. Everything's turned over to the refs. So how do they get 11 of 12 balls back in their possession and deflate them during the game?
So that's not to my knowledge. I didn't know that. So you're telling me, Bill, before the games, I know, looking at the report here, exactly two hours and 15 minutes before kickoff, one referee checked all of the balls and said that, okay, they are of regulation for the Patriots side. I'm not sure for the Colts side. But
They took possession of them.
So do they
I
take?
Guess I was wrong.
Yeah, I'm not sure because according to the report, I'm guessing they didn't. That's why this is so controversial. I'm not sure as to why that is, Bill.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I had heard, that they actually turn them over to the right. I heard that on some other show.
Now, that would make sense, right? I mean, you would think, right? I mean, these are referees. They are in charge of the logistics of the game. I mean, why would you even risk another team, tampering with the balls and just keep them in your possession and just let the game go on like that? I mean, you would think that's the way it works. That's the way I thought it worked, too, before this story broke.
And what's the point? I mean, I think they should just use one ball for both sides, for kicking, for everything.
Right.
It's football. Come on.
Exactly. Take it old school, right? They had one ball throughout the entire game. Hey, we should just rewind the clock, huh?
Well, listen, have a great weekend. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Bill. Appreciate that. Again, folks, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Hey, why not? Let's hit a break, Alex. When we come back, let's dive into Throwback Thursday. What exactly happened on this particular Thursday in sports history? Folks, it's a stacked Thursday. I'm just going to warn you right now. You don't want to miss it, though. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. It's Throwback Thursday here on Current Sports. Alex, I'm going to take a stab at that one. That is the Bee Gees?
That is. You're staying alive, though.
Wow, I'm staying alive, man. I'm pretty well versed.
Belichick is not staying alive, though.
No, he's not. Again, folks, all right. if you want to weigh in on Deflategate or Tom Izzo and the Spartans or anything that's on your sports noggin, 517.
Down goes Frazier.
Yeah.
Down goes Frazier.
Yeah, and that's exact. Again, as I said to start the show, man, the Patriots are desperately trying to you know, hit the ropes and drag themselves off the mat because I tell you, it's in the 12th round right now, and the clock is ticking. Okay, because this team, the perception of this team, and what has gone down is just ugh. So if you got any thoughts or opinions on anything, 517-355-9527. I will be remiss if I didn't mention this. Former Michigan State QB and assistant coach Dan Enos has stepped down as Central Michigan University's head coach to become the offensive coordinator at Arkansas. So how about that? I got the privilege of actually meeting Dan and covering Dan for a game or two back in the day. He's a great guy. Again, former Michigan State QB. He has decided to bolt and leave the chips. Chip down. The chips are down. And he decided to go to Arkansas. So surprise move there. Also, Susie Merchant and Company, they get back in action. Again, they've had such a roller coaster type of a year, and it's not even done yet. But they tried to shake off a loss to Iowa at home this past weekend and now hit the road to play Maryland, top dog in the Big Ten. That game takes place, and you can view it on the Big Ten Network tonight at 7 p.m. I really hope Susie, that this would be a huge win if they do get this win tonight. I mean, they have a lot of fight left in this green and white Spartan squad. Well, folks, it's Thursday. Each and every Thursday, we like to have a lot of fun. We dub it Throwback Thursday, where we take a look at what exactly happened on this particular Thursday in sports history. So, what exactly took place on this day, January 22nd, in sports history? Let's hop into our current sports time machine and go back. It's time for Throwback Thursday.
But the Detroit Pistons have just shocked the Los Angeles Lakers.
Wing, there's a drive to left. That one is long.
Eisenman, back over his step. Into the spot for Brown. Shoot, yes. Go! And there it goes! You never know when to expect it. Darren McCarty said before.
Oh, boy, some legendary moments throughout that montage. Gotta love that. Thanks a lot, Alex, for cutting that. That's beautiful. All right, folks. Well, today is Thursday, January 22nd, 2015. Happy birthday to anybody celebrating a birthday on this day. Let's take a look at what happened today in sports, folks. Let's go all the way back to 1951. Fidel Castro was ejected from a Winter League baseball game after hitting a batter. Now, he later, of course, gave up baseball for politics. Hey, I had no idea that Fidel Castro even played baseball. So, hey, he was ejected, though, in 1951 on this day. All right, let's go to 1960. In 1960, the 10th NBA All-Star Game was played. The East beat the West 125-115. Out in Philadelphia, where I was born and raised. Not when I was, you know, you guys know the Fresh Prince song, right? Now, I tell you what, I got to ask you, Alex, really briefly here. Of course, I think this weekend, one of the most pointless sporting events takes place. Alex, you know what that event is? The Pro Bowl. Who watches the Pro Bowl? Like, really? I you know, every time I sit down and watch it, it is the most pointless all-star game I've ever watched in my life, and especially with the game of football. The game of football isn't a game where you should be kind of showcasing, you know, your all-star talent. Because the game of football is not one of those recreational sports that you can play and not risk getting injured. Basketball, you can do that. You can have fun with basketball. And it's entertaining to watch the dunks and so on and so forth. But to watch an all-star football game where guys are not even giving 100% effort, I mean, I just hate watching it. But anyway, 1960, the 10th All-Star Game was played, folks. The NBA All-Star Game takes place next month, like each and every February, right around Valentine's Day. So if you don't got a boo-boo to hug up with, definitely watch the All-Star Game because it's fantastic. I spent many nights doing it alone. All right, 1961, Wilma Rudolph set a world indoor record in the women's 60-yard dash. She ran the race, and get this, 6.9 seconds, folks. That is fast. So shout out to Wilma Rudolph, an incredible athlete. Okay, 1968, the NBA awarded franchises to Milwaukee and Phoenix. So that is when the birth of NBA franchises in those respective cities was born back in 1968. So shout out to Milwaukee and Phoenix. 1973. I think this is the moment Alex has been playing all day. Joe Frazier lost the first fight of his professional career to the great George Foreman. Alex, hit that one more time.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! The heavyweight champion is taking the mandatory eight count, and Foreman is as poised as can be in a neutral corner. He is as poised as can be. We have a minute left in this first round, and already this fight is proving out what some have expected.
Wow, that just sends chills up your spine, even to this day as you listen to it. Again, that took place in 1973, one of the most historic calls in all of sports history. Down goes Frazier. I mean, my goodness. You know, this is what I miss. I miss the sport of boxing being on that platform, folks. I mean, there was a moment in sports, in a moment in time, where boxing was the sport to watch. Yes, more popular than professional football, folks. And now it's slowly just dwindled down the two. But you got it. I mean, a moment like that, Joe Frazier, again, losing the first fight of his professional career to George Foreman on this day back in 1973. All right, folks, let's move along here to 1983. Houston became the first NBA team to not score a point in overtime. They lost to the Portland Trailblazers after being outscored 17-0 in overtime. This is a complete shutdown. Come on, you got to at least hit a layup in overtime. That's crazy. All right, 1984, the great Barry Manilow sang the U.S. National Anthem at the Super Bowl. Barry Manilow, of course, is a famous and award-winning singer. Gotta love that. 1998, Minnesota's new NHL franchise selected the nickname the Wild. So this is when the Minnesota Wild was born, on this day back in 1988. And this is one of the most touching moments in sports for me. Back in 2002, a guy who many of us, including myself, grew up listening to and really aspiring to be like, I mean, one of the smoothest cats in all the sports broadcasting business. But on this day in 2002, Pat Summerall, the great Pat Summerall, announced that he would leave his NFL broadcasting partner, John Madden. I mean, Pat and John were staples to listen to on the tube during Monday Night Football. After they had called the Super Bowl for Fox Sports, that's when Pat made the announcement. The two had worked together for 21 years. How about that? And also on this day, on that very same day, same year, heavyweight champion Lennox Lewis and Mike Tyson held a press conference to announce an upcoming fight. Now, after an altercation, the fight was delayed until June when Lewis knocked Tyson out in the eighth round. You guys remember Lennox Lewis and Mike Tyson? They always used to go at it. In 2003, Michael Jordan, the great MJ, the GOAT, greatest of all time, when he played for the Washington Wizards, he became the third highest all-time scorer in the NBA. Now, of course, Kobe has eclipsed Michael on that list, but hey, it took Kobe four more years to do it. But on this day, Mike became number three, which now Kobe holds that reign. And last but not least, speaking of Kobe Bryant, isn't this ironic? In 2006, Kobe Bryant scored 81 points against the Toronto Raptors. It was the second highest point total in NBA history. Wilt Chamberlain scored 100 points in a single game, of course, back in 1962. But Kobe, the second highest at 81 on this day. I mean, I remember watching those highlights and watching Kobe just go to work on Jalen Rose and the Raptors and saying to myself, my goodness, is Kobe Bryant good, folks. Well, any more? Do we have any more, Alex? I believe we have Billy Cundiff, right? I think Billy Cundiff.
Yeah,
explain
on this
that
day,
one.
Two, 3 years ago, they played the Patriots in 2011 in the AFC Championship game. And, you know, since we're on the Patriots topic, Billy Cundiff, I mean, he's there. It's 20-23. There are 11 seconds left in the fourth, and he has this perfect 30-yard kick. It's almost right down the middle, and then this happens.
32 yards to tie. And the kick, look out! Look out! It's no good! It's no good!
Yeah, it was no good, and it was the end of the Baltimore Ravens season with your man, your boy, Mr. Flacco.
Joe Flacco, my man with the plan. Yeah, that was a tough year. All right, well, that wraps up our Throwback Thursday, folks. Again, if you want to comment on anything that we've brought up here on the show, simply, you know, follow me at Twitter. I'm always tweeting left and right. Tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR, or just follow me And you can comment on our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. I'm even on Instagram. Okay, folks, follow me on Instagram also at Al_3SPN. So follow me there as well, folks. Oh, man, just 4 minutes left in the show. Man, time flies when you're having fun. I want to remind you all, Current Sports TV airs tonight at 10 p.m. Make sure you get your popcorn ready, get your favorite beverage, sit down on the couch, and check it out. It's going to be a great episode as I sit down with, again, a living legend, folks. He is the all-time record holder for most games coached at the high school basketball level. Bob Anderson joins me tonight. You don't want to miss that, folks. Tomorrow's Current Sports Radio is going to be a hot one. It's going to be a hot one, folks. If you missed that interview from tonight, we're going to actually have an encore of it on tomorrow's show. And you'll also get to hear from Dave Dombrowski. Yes, the owner, GM, and CEO of the Detroit Tigers. He's actually in town right now. I actually went to the Kellogg Conference Center to steal a bit of his time. It was me, Channel 6, Channel 10. We were all there throwing some questions at Dave and chatted with him also. He's a really, really nice guy. Chatted with him for about 10 minutes. So you'll get to hear what he had to say when it pertained to Max Scherzer, when it pertains to him. Because he's speaking at the Economic Club Luncheon at the Kellogg Conference Center right now, folks. So you get to hear his thoughts on Max Scherzer, hear his thoughts on coming back to Lansing and speaking at the luncheon, and so much more, folks. So you don't want to miss our chat with Dave Dombrowski tomorrow as well, folks. And we'll also be diving into the NCAA academic fraud investigation. Now, we gave you a tease of that story yesterday, but currently the NCAA is investigating, and this was told to the Chronicle's Brad Wolverton, that it is investigating 20 schools for academic fraud, folks. Now, according to the report, the cases being investigated are in various stages, from preliminary inquiry to schools waiting to hear back from the Committee on Infractions. But, folks, there have been multiple examples out there. More notably right now, the situation happening out at North Carolina, finding that advisors guided athletes to take classes they did not have to show up for. And not only that, received grades to help them eligible when they took those classes. Interesting stuff. Of course, you guys know about the situation out in Weber State. When Weber State was placed on 3 years probation and had scholarships reduced in its football program, after finding, get this, that a math instructor helped players cheat on quizzes and tests. It's always been an elephant in the room ever since I've been in college, even at Michigan State. Now, I'm not saying it's going down at Michigan State. I'm just saying it's always been rumored that, hey, do athletes get special treatment in the classroom? Do they? We'll talk about that and so much more tomorrow, folks. You have been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. As always, folks, happy Thursday. Make it a good one. Keep chasing your dreams. And as always, be easy, people.